All right, welcome to episode 59 of the Bobbycast. And with writer, performer, artist, Adam Hambrick. How are you, good?
Man, I'm good. Thanks.
So, I'm going to tell my story about how we met. Is I was playing the Bluebird Cafe. It was me, Eric Pasley, Fred Wilhelm, and Lindsay L. And we're playing, and it was the first time I'd ever played the Bluebird Cafe. And I didn't know that you're supposed to, like, do this thing where you go, hey, I brought somebody up, and they come play. I didn't know that was, like, a thing. I was just geeking out because I was getting to play in the Bluebird, Adam. I didn't know what it was. So Lindsay's like, hey, I wanted to bring this guy up named Adam Hambrick. I was like, Adam Hambrick, I know you're from Arkansas, that's why I knew who you were. Yeah. And so Adam comes up and sings How Not To, the Dan and Shay. Right now, I believe it's the number 7 on the chart. And Adam, he just crushed it. And I was like, holy crap. But you wrote that song.
Yeah.
You wrote How Not To from Dan and Shay. That's the first time we'd ever met. First time I'd ever heard of you.
That was a pretty cool night.
Have you played the Bluebird before?
Yeah, I've played it several times.
Oh, listen to those guys several times.
Well, I did it the first time I ever played it. It was an ASCAP round. This was 2013. I pulled up to the Bluebird with a U-Haul. Like, I had just moved my crap from Arkansas. I had a U-Haul full of furniture.
So you drove up in the move and drove right to the Bluebird.
It was the most quintessential, like, stereotypical Nashville thing you ever heard. Drove my little U-Haul up to the back of the Bluebird and, like, got out, like, went in. And Vince Gill was playing after that, and so he was, like, lurking around. I was like, that's Vince Gill, and I'm at the Bluebird.
How long ago was that?
That was four years and 3 months ago.
We got here about the same time then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we got here about the same time. So let's do this first. First, here is How Not To from Dan and Shay. This is your biggest song so far.
So far,
because you're the reason I wanted to bring you in, because you're the guy now that everybody's starting to go, oh, I need to write with that dude.
Oh, man.
And it happens in town where somebody gets a big hit or two, and people are like, holy crap, we got to grab this guy.
Man.
So here's How Not To. So this is the first time that we've done this, is that I was like, hey, let's hear the work tapes of How Not To. And so I have them here. This is so cool. So talk me through this. I'm going to play the first one here, How Not To. It says work tape raw.
Oh, man, that's super raw. So we wrote it that day.
Who wrote the song?
So it was me and Paul DiGiovanni and Kevin Bard. And funny story, I'd written with them before, and... but they were kind of still making trips back and forth to Nashville from LA, and I had written on the day before, and it was midway through December. I thought it was my last write, because when they texted me before, I forgot to put it in my calendar, and so they texted me the day before and like, hey man, are we still good for tomorrow? I was like, yeah. I was like ready to kick it in Christmas mode. You know what I'm saying?
So this is the last write of the year,
The last write of the year. I didn't expect to have it. And, like, that morning I woke up, I was like, I just want to get my stuff ready and drive home, see my folks. I was like, I mean, it had been kind of a...
It's another quintessential writing story, because, like, people go, you know what? I didn't want to put it on the record, or I was going to go home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we showed up, and Paul had this incredible idea that was born out of some sort of, like, personal experience. I don't want to speak to exactly what the situation was or anything like that, but it was like, it came from a real place. It was a real idea. He's like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what this is, but like I had this idea of, I don't know how not to love you, you know? And I just kind of started singing this melody in the chorus, and then it just kind of all filled in on top of itself, and it fell out fast, man.
Here is the work tape. So this is you singing.
Yeah, this is a really bad... This is a really
it's not
bad
really... Here's the thing. All work tapes are bad, but only in the way of bad compared to a studio version. I actually think it's pretty phenomenal. All
right.
So this is How Not To. This is Adam Hambrick singing How Not To. This is before you pitched it anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a process I want to talk about, too. So here you go. This is the first time it was recorded. But I don't know how not to think about you when it's late at night and quiet. And I know that I ought to be the one... Listen to you. Listen to that guy right there. They stayed pretty true.
Yeah, pretty true. They went up, I guess, in like they went up in key.
Shay did because he sings
because
like,
he sings like a freaking maniac.
Yeah,
and yeah. So actually, I thought you were gonna play like the work tape.
Oh, I have
like,
another one here,
like the acoustic iPhone work tape.
Do we have that one? Let me see what this one is. That is done. Is this you?
Yeah. So this
this is a demo.
This is like we actually. So here's a funny wrinkle in the story. It's like I cut my own version, and we were going to put it out.
Oh, it was your song?
As my song.
Yeah.
So my buddy Andrew DeRoberts produced it, and we kind of built up this track, and we cut my own version. We were going to put it out to kind of XM and Spotify and do all the normal, like, independent artists trying to work the thing. And then it just kind of like this Dan and Shay thing kind of popped up, and it was like, man, that's the best thing that can happen to me right now is to get a big cut and possibly a big single and all that stuff. And so we in faith gave it to them, knew they were going to do a great job with it. Cause I mean,
it's gotta be a tough thing though, right? Like you have a song, you write, you love it. I'm about to play it here. This is the fully produced version and you're going to put this out there like this. But I just don't know how not to think about. That's so good, dude. And you're ready. And then someone else says they want the song. I mean, I know it's Dan and Shay, and I'm friends with those guys.
Yeah.
Like, on a level more than most artists. Yeah. But still, it's your song. How hard is that for you to go, ooh, the song that I cut, and it was going to really be my artist entry into the game, I'm going to give away now?
Well, here's the reality where I was. So, a month before I wrote that song, I actually lost my first pub deal. So, it was kind of like, it wasn't like, we don't think you're good, or... You know, it wasn't like one of those things. It was just like the end of the term, and the guy that had originally signed me was not there anymore.
So you didn't get renewed.
I didn't get renewed in my contract, and so, but like even though the writing was kind of on the wall, like I was still at a place where like my confidence was a little low. You know, like I needed something good to happen. You know what I'm saying?
I bet they're kicking themselves right now.
I mean, they've got.
I mean, they let you go, and then you put out a smash.
Yeah, but they. I mean, they're one of the big dogs. They got.
It doesn't matter. Money's still money. There's a true. Everybody's got to get paid.
Yeah, but anyway, so I was kind of inspired. I needed something good to happen. Like I was, and after I lost that deal, that next year was really the best thing that could have possibly happened to me because I walked away from it and I just. And I was like, all right, I'm going to stop trying to outthink myself. I'm not going to try to write Song of the Year every day. I'm going to figure out what I do that hits the target of country radio. Like, what do I do that hits that target? And what do I do that I love? And kind of like, how can I get those two things to line up? And that's really what I spent that next year doing. And that's where that song came from. That's where How Not To came from. And
here's the work tape. We found it.
Oh, man.
Let's see. This is from your iPhone. You just hit record on the iPhone in a voice memo. Yeah. There you go. It's cool. It's like birthing a baby right now. Like, we're going to see all of it. That's so cool, dude, because we got to hear right as you're done writing it. You hit everybody. This is what happens in a write. You're all sitting around, you finish the song. You're like, all right, let's try this. Everybody lays their iPhones down.
Yep.
You go to whatever program it is, if it's voice memo, or maybe you're using your computer. You know how different people use different things.
Yep.
And you go, okay, 3, 2, 1, boop, you hit the button. And then you position the phone in the right place where it picks up just enough guitar, and you play it the first time through.
Yep.
And then you go, all right, boom, that's it. And then that work tape turns into this. I don't know how not to think about you when it's late at night. And then Dan and Shay taking it sounds like this. But I don't know how not to think. Dang, we're watching a kid grow up and graduate right there, a song. It came out as a baby, now it's going to college. Oh, about to have a career.
And one day it's about to retire and buy me a house.
How about that?
Yeah, man.
That's cool, man.
I still feel you know, this past weekend I was out with your buddy Eric Pasley, and we were writing, and he was saying, because I have this thing where I try to like not downplay it, but I don't want to be that guy like, we get it, you wrote that song, you know, but he said Mason, enjoy it, like the first one, like you don't ever have another first one, so like really take it in, really soak it up, and really enjoy it, and that was a really good point. So I've really been trying to take that to heart and just like accept the compliments and be thankful for them and really drink them in a little bit and just be thankful for the opportunity to have a big song.
I gotta know though. Again, I want to go back to them calling whomever called you and said, "Hey, Dan and Shay would like this song." First of all, how'd they hear it? Was it being pitched while you were cutting it?
It was still being pitched while I was cutting it, because I mean, it still just made sense. Like still looking for a win for Adam. Like however we can get it right. And so fast forward from originally like writing that song. Fast forward, I guess a year and 2 months. So January of 16. So at this point, Rascal Flatts had actually had it on hold, and Rascal Flatts, like their team loved it. But Dan and Shay was in the studio. Dan was on his way to the studio. He texts his friend Rohan, who's a writer manager in town. And he says, "Hey Rohan, send me some hits. We've got space for one more on the session." And Rohan says, "Okay." And he sends, two or three songs. The first song he sent him was How Not To. And Dan flipped out. He loved it. Like, he's like, "Man, this is a smash." And he played it for Scott Hendricks, his producer, and Scott loved it. He's like, "Man, we got to cut this." And so they called Flats people, like, "Hey, can we have this?" And they're like, "Yeah, I guess. We don't have a cut date yet." And, you know, it was
so
like,
they were just holding it.
They were holding it. They'd been holding it for several months at that point. And
are you just like, come on with it already? Like, you've been holding it for several months. Like, let's go.
Because
I would be like that. I'd be like, let's go.
It's
plan.
It's a little like that, but still, bear in mind, I was still looking for a win. Yeah, so I was in no position to be like, "Hey, country music Hall of Famers, you know, like,
I'll give it in your heart." You're like, let's go.
Poop or get off the pot.
Somebody.
No, nothing like that, you know.
Yeah. So there's, yeah. I saw a video, and I saw on Instagram too the picture too of Dan and Shay took you out, and you sang the song, and the whole crowd sang it back. Like, that's got to be crazy, right?
It's that was a bucket list kind of thing, because I don't know. It hasn't been that. I haven't been here that long. I haven't been doing this that long, and I don't know. 5 years ago, I was living in Arkansas, just writing songs out of my house, you know, and so to go from there to have like the first taste of music that I have written and been a part of, like move people in that way, and just to like to see that coming back at me like full in the face at an incredible decibel level, man, it just like I had chills and I got a little emotional walking off stage and just like the flood of gratitude, the flood of holy crap, what is my life right now? And I don't know, man. It was pretty unreal.
I got to tell you too, I didn't know that you wrote this new Justin Moore song, and I know Justin well because we're both diehard Razorback fans. But
yeah,
we played in the same conference in sports.
What?
Like literally in the same conference.
That's right. That's right.
He's from Poe and I'm from Mountain Pine.
Yeah.
And so Poe didn't have football team, but we both had baseball teams.
Yeah.
And so we were in the same conference of 11 schools. And we both graduated with like 60 kids. You know, we're from small town Arkansas.
That's amazing.
So I text Justin when his record came out. And I was like, dude, this Somebody Else Will song is really, it's for him, it takes him to a whole different place. So I was like, dude, it's really good. And we were getting ready for this. And my DJ like, "Yeah, you know, Adam wrote Somebody Else Will." I did not know that. I'm going to
really?
Be truthful. Until I started like researching things about you that I didn't know. But this Justin Moore song is really good. And so I'm going to play this here. This is Justin Moore's. I heard this on the radio the other day. Have you heard this one yet?
I finally heard it on the radio when I was driving to Arkansas to my parents' house.
It's starting to climb. Like, it's starting.
Yeah. Starting to get some life. So Justin's my guy. All right, like. I don't know if you know, I don't know how much you you research on the front end to how I got to Nashville. But in 2011, I had made this record on my own back home in Arkansas. I had made it with my buddy Darren Stribling. He owns a small studio called Blue Chair Studio in Cabot, Arkansas. And it's the I'm telling you, the best $2,000 record you could possibly make. And and we did. We made this record. I was really excited about it. And I was doing like a local morning TV show.
Which one? What channel?
Good Morning Arkansas, Channel 7.
So KATV.
KATV.
Yeah.
Yep.
You act like I don't know. That's where I'm from. Oh, I know. That's home for me. Yeah.
It's your people. And
home of Ned Permy.
That's right. Ned Permy.
The most famous weatherman of our lifetime.
The most famous piano playing weatherman.
Yeah, every Christmas he does a piano special. The weatherman in Arkansas does.
And
yeah.
His tan is always on point. And so I was playing on Good Morning Arkansas, and Justin just happens to be at home. In I guess he was living in Bryan at the time. Happens to be at home. He sees me and he's like, he calls Jeremy Stover, his producer, and he's like, "Hey man, you need to check this guy out." And Stover's like looking for young artists and writers to work with, and so Stover checks my music out. Like he bought my record on iTunes. Fast forward 2 days. I'm sitting there just in my office. I was working at a college student ministry doing video and graphic design. I was sitting in my office, and I get an email from Jeremy Stover, and he's like, "Hey, I want to come watch you play one of these shows. I'm thinking about catching a flight." It's like, I'm like, I kind of thought it was like one of those MySpace, like pay $50 and get 50,000 followers kind of thing, you know, like you never know. And
MySpace.
you know what I'm talking about.
Well, you can buy some followers anywhere. The fact that you own MySpace is so Arkansas of you.
It really is.
And I can say that.
It really is.
Yeah, go ahead.
And let my Arkansas show. But yeah, I thought it was like one of those kind of things, you know. But it was not. And so I ended up just going up to meet with Stover. And he invited me up for some co-writes. That turned to me making a trip a month for about a week at a time, and then
to Nashville.
Drive up for a week at a time, and my job was flexible, and like I could work from here and write during the day and like work at night, and so there were just a lot of things just like lined up in this incredible way. It was almost like I was just like swept to Nashville, because during that time when I was making trips, that's when I got my first cut. It was with Justin. It was a duet with Justin and Miranda Lambert.
I have that one here. As you're talking about, it's called Old Habits.
Old Habits. Here. I said goodbye
when you let go. So you get this as a cut. Do you make any money from a cut?
No.
Not really?
Because if you're in a publishing deal...
you don't get to recoup.
Like record sales go toward recouping your advance, and the advance is what keeps you from having to have another job. And
so I'll explain that sort of thing to people who are listening. So... we've talked about publishing deals, because until I started writing songs, I didn't know what a publishing deal was. Yeah. So I know people that listen don't. I didn't, and I was already in the music business. So let's say I moved to Nashville and I want to get paid $40,000 a year as a publishing deal. You know, it's a tough one to go get, but they're going to pay me $40,000 a year,
yeah.
And I'm going to write all these songs. I have to meet my quota of songs. Yeah. And let's just say they say you have to write 10 songs. Okay. If you write it with another person, that only counts as half a song.
Yeah.
If you write it with two other people, that only counts as a third of a song.
Yeah.
So by the time you're done, 10 songs is really 30 or 40 songs.
Sure.
And they're paying you $40,000, we'll say here, a year to write songs. By the way, usually not that much. It's not $40,000. I just put that number out there.
I was like, where are you getting your draw?
Right. So any money that's made up to $40,000, they keep. You got to make that $40,000. You got to make plus that to get to get paid.
Yeah.
So that's why a cut doesn't make you money, because you're not going to make your $40,000, your hypothetical $40,000, from a cut.
That's a solid.
Did you know that, Mike?
That would be a solid explanation that if you had just asked me, I would have a hard time putting that together in a way that would make anybody understand it.
I am a professional speaker, Adam.
yes, I'm told.
So you do this, and obviously, it's a cut, but they get a little money. It's got to be exciting for you, because you actually have a song on a record now.
You kidding me? Like that was. Man, I thought I had made it. And let me tell you why I thought I made it, because I'm learning increasingly that just like being able to do music as a career and not have to have another job is that is the definition of making it in 2017, because like everybody's margins are thin, because I mean like you talked about on that, on, because I listened to your Luke Laird podcast a couple, y'all were kind of talking about Spotify a little bit, just a little bit, but like the streaming services and all that stuff, like everybody's trying to figure out how that is going
to
work.
Yeah, it's the Wild West still. Nobody knows how to, right.
And so while everybody's trying to figure out how to get paid, everybody's like really tight-fisted and trying to, I don't know. So being able to do music and not have to have another job, being able to be creative full-time and be in this business and not have another job, I mean, to me, that is essentially the definition of making it. Everybody else who's buying mansions over here, they're in the top.
It's the 0.0001%.
Oh, man, yeah.
What, sleep number? Let me talk about sleep number for 1 second. So you've heard me talk about my sleep number bed and how great I sleep and how much I love my bed. My sleep number setting is 30, and that's the number that when I went into the store and I laid down on the bed, they said, okay, look at the computer screen. I looked at the computer screen. It showed my back, showed my neck, showed my legs, and it shows you why you're sleeping wrong, basically, because we're all doing something not right when we sleep. And they suggested, hey, 30 would be the number that we would give you, and so that's what I did. I never had to change it since, so my sleep number is still, the setting is still a 30. It adjusts on each side to your ideal level of firmness, your comfort, your support. Your sleep number setting is the perfect bed for couples, and with the Sleep IQ optional technology inside of it, it also tracks your sleep to let you know what's going on. So my sleep number setting is a 30. My IQ score last night, well, I didn't sleep in my bed last night. Last week, the last time I slept in my bed was in the 90s. So it's the best time right now, too. And the semi-annual sale, a queen C2 mattress, is $699.99. 550 stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you by calling 800-NEXT-BED. Cool. All right, so we talked about Justin Moore seeing you on television randomly.
Yeah.
He tells his guy. His guy contacts you. His guy comes out and watches you, thinks you're good, says, hey, come to Nashville. Let's write. So you're coming out for a week at a time. How long until you go... Are you married at the time?
Yes.
Okay. How long do you tell your wife, hey, we have to move to Nashville?
Oh man. Once Justin Moore cut that song, there were a few months. It was basically just had to do with how my deal was structured. We knew that if I got picked up for the second year of my deal, that's when they were actually gonna like invest a little money in me and like pay me a draw so that I could do this full time. And so that was kind of at the point where we knew if I got picked up for that second year that we were going to move to Nashville. It was easy for my wife. My wife is a physician assistant. And so she works in medicine. She makes good money. And,
there's a lot of that in Nashville too. There's a really huge market. Yeah.
And so we knew because it was a big medical, community, it would be easy for her to find a job. Also, her best friend in the world lives here.
That's like convenient.
Her best friend from high school just happens to live here. So we were making trips on the weekends, like randomly up to Nashville once every, you know, couple months to hang out. And it already kind of had started to feel a little bit like home even before we even came. And it was a really easy transition as far as just like feeling like a good, comfortable place for us. So we've loved it, man. It's been good.
So Justin Moore, here's somebody else will again here. Somebody else will. Same thing. Here is a work tape here. And this is you singing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a demo.
Yes.
This is a demo. Okay. So this is the original version that you cut.
Yeah.
This is Adam Hamburg singing Justin Moore's song. Here we go. Yeah. Well, your song. Yeah.
Sitting here tipping back Jack straight. I'm working up the nerve and the words to say. To turn those eyes and that smile my way. No time to waste. Cause you showed up and all eyes on you. Shining like a diamond in the neon room.
Did you write this for Justin?
We wrote it that day. We're like, let's just try and write the biggest freaking smash we can write. And it was literally that was the day. This isn't one of those like change the world kind of like Tom Douglas, the house that built me kind of situations. This is just like let's write a fist pumping, booty shaking, you know, jam, and that's really what we try to do. So
when I heard Justin cut it, I was surprised Justin cut it.
I was
honestly
surprised
because
Justin cut it too.
He's so traditional sounding.
Yep.
And first of all, you have to hear a song and then think, what can I do with this song?
Yeah.
So he's hearing your voice,
yeah,
and you know all of that track,
yeah,
and going, how can I make this me? And he can try to make them the most he can. It's still going to sound a little bit like how you guys made it.
Oh, man. And I feel like Justin's got a little bit of blowback from like some of his diehard fans on this song because it leans kind of into the pop thing. And but for one thing, Justin doesn't get enough credit for how good he actually is.
And or how many hits he actually has,
too. Or for how many hits he actually has. Like, people are way behind on the Justin Moore bandwagon, if you ask me. He can do this kind of thing and sing his butt off, man. And just the fact that it's like something different, like, will expand his I don't know, reach into people who wouldn't have normally listened to him.
The slice of people that are angry at him is much smaller than the group of people that's going to come in because of this, radio brings
like
that in.
I feel like, because even though he does this one little does this one little foray into something that's a little more pop or a little more left leaning, like that doesn't change who that guy is. Like, he hasn't like sold out. Like,
and you don't want the same record every time. I get so annoyed when an artist tries and moves a direction. Period. Yeah. When their whole fan base gets pissed off because it's like, are you kidding? What do you want them to do? Continue to make the same record every single time? Yeah. You'll get bored and buy something else, and they have nothing. They have nothing. Yeah. So here, this is the let's start from the beginning. Here is the work tape from the iPhone of Somebody Else Will.
1, 2, 3.
And beatbox are coming too.
Tipping back Jack straight, working up the nerve and the words to say. I turn those eyes and then smile my way, no time to waste. You showed up and all eyes on you, shining like a diamond in the neon blue. Every guy here wants to make a move, I better make a move. Cause somebody else will if I don't. Walk up and ask you your name right now. Offer to buy you a drink, sit down. I'll tell you your looks can't keep.
It's really cool to hear that, and then to hear the demo, which is this.
Somebody else will if I don't.
That's good,
man.
And then how it ends up on the radio with Justin Moore singing it.
Somebody else will if I don't. Walk up and ask you your name right now. Offer to buy you a drink, sit down.
That's really cool, right, Mike? Like, they have all the levels of that. That's cool, Adam.
Somebody else will if I don't. Take a chance on your lips and lean.
Say the only other person brave enough to give us his work tapes was Dirks.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
and he was playing some. And he wasn't even playing the hits. He was playing stuff that he was like, "This stuff sucks. Listen to this." And it's like I'm going, "My dog, see." So,
oh my god,
I think it's really cool. Like, I love seeing like A, B, C, and now you have two singles out on the radio right now. But here's the thing about you too. What I heard about you before I even knew you were a songwriter was, I heard about you as the artist.
Yeah.
Like the guy that could sing really, really well. And so when you sat down and played, I was like, holy crap. So here is, this is you doing Dangerously Close. Is this a song you wrote?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah? What's this from?
So I wrote this, me and your boy Fillmore, Tyler Fillmore. We just, somebody set us up to write last year. Was it last year or 2 years? Man, I don't remember.
Years of success, they all start to blow together. Yeah.
All my many years in Nashville. It was 2 summers ago, that's what it was. And we wrote this song, and man, we just, like, we knew from the get-go that it was good, and we enjoyed it. And then I put a demo down with my buddy Andrew. He kind of led the session, and I guess
is this a demo?
Yeah, this is a demo.
So somebody can still pick the song up.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking here. Yeah. Let's make some deals.
Hey, Brett Young had it on hold for a minute, and he wanted to cut it, but he already had a song called Close, or Close Enough. That's what it was.
Here's Dangerously Close. Let's hear this.
We ain't calling it love. Well, it's just a slow dance, I know. But the way you're holding me, you got me dangerously close.
So what's your deal? Like, are you... You're writing songs.
Yeah.
Let's say you get to pick one thing. You get to go sing songs, or you get to sit and write songs. Which one do you pick?
Oh, man.
Because they're not mutually exclusive, but I'm just wondering, I know your heart's in both of them, but did you come down to be an artist, or did you come down to write, then to be an artist? Like, what's the ultimate goal?
Oh, man. The ultimate goal.
Keep it real.
The ultimate goal is to be an artist. That's where I want to be in the performing. But if I had to pick like one or the other, like to do like what I'm best in the world at,
artist. You can say whatever you want, but you want to be an artist. That's cool.
But
you're good enough to be an artist. That's the thing. That's what I knew you first about. It was like, this guy can really sing.
Man, well that's awesome.
Here's Adam doing "Steal My Girl" from One Direction. There you go.
Everybody wanna steal my girl. Everybody wanna take her heart away. Couple billion in a whole wide world. Find another one, she'd be in.
Just think if you'd written that one, how rich you'd be. Holy crap.
You'd be showing up to my house.
Yeah.
Everybody wanna steal my girl.
So, another thing, and before. Yeah, I knew about you before, but you have written with my girlfriend a few times.
Yeah.
Before she was my. Even. Before Lindsay, I was my girlfriend, you'd written with Lindsay. But her single is a song that you guys wrote together.
Yeah.
So,
like a sailboat, wishing for the wind to blow.
So waiting on you.
Looking for the greater goal.
You guys wrote.
I'm right here.
And this really has nothing to do with that. And it kind of goes off to the side. But yeah, you guys wrote that together.
Yeah, man. Look, I love Lindsay. I think she is an awesome human being. And I think she's superbly talented.
You don't say that around me.
And I think
being professional here.
I'm being straight up. We went on a bus run last year because the publishing company that I write for, they send out a tour bus. Olay, they send out a tour bus every pretty much every weekend of the summer, like during festival season, and it's just kind of an opportunity for their writers to write with different artists. And and that was the first bus run I ever went on was with Lindsay, and we wrote three songs that weekend that I thought were really cool, and we just became good friends. We've written since then, and I'm really excited for the EP that she got to put out, and now she's getting ready to turn that into a full record, which is really cool.
Which I didn't say that, by the way, you did.
Oh man, I didn't. Oh no, say, no, dude.
I say nothing. No. That's fine.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's not a thing. I just. Oh, no. That's you say whatever you want to say. I don't care.
Oh you're, man,
this is about
please,
you,
dude. Please, oh no.
You're like it's all. It's not a thing. I just didn't say it. You did. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's not a thing. Don't worry about it.
Like a fast car.
So how did you hear it?
Benny Brown better not beat me up.
Don't worry, Benny's not working over there really. So how did you tell the story about how you found out this one was a single? Because I was already in your life by this point, a little bit.
So I'm sitting there. I'm FaceTiming with my grandmother. I got my daughter on my lap, and I'm FaceTiming with my grandmother. And I got a text and said, "Hey man, this is Bobby Bones." And I said, "Grandmother, I got a weird text. I gotta let you go." and so I took my phone. Like, so the actual response was, "The heck? ? How's it going, man?" And he said, "Oh, doing good." And you said, "How not to is doing great. Congratulations." And I said, "Awesome. I really appreciate that, man. It's been really fun." And then you said, "Do you have anything else on radio?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I got the new Justin thing, and then I got this new Jacob Davis thing," and then I kind of like cycled off like a couple things, and then you said, "Watch your phone," and I said, 3, 2, 1, and then Lindsay texted and said, "Waiting on You is my next single," and I said, "Yay!" And then I was like, "Oh man, that's awesome." And then I thought about this, and I was like, he was just messing with me, and then I gave him
the whole
entire catalog of music, and I felt like a goober. It was
funny.
Lindsay and I were
sitting at one of those hibachi steakhouses. And they had just decided it was officially going to be the single. She's like, "Yeah, I'm going to send these guys a text."
Oh, man.
And I was like, "I know, Adam. Let me mess with him. I don't want to tell him because that's her thing." But I was like, "Let me mess with him a bit." And I was like, "What up, dude? You good?" And you're like, "What up? Huh? The heck?" Anyway, that was funny. So, wait, what's the Jacob Davis stuff? Because I know Jacob.
So, he has a song that just went to radio a few weeks ago. It's called "What I Want to Be." And
that's
fun,
yours,
dude.
Too?
It's a jam.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody's trying to. Are you? Let me ask you a question as I pull it up here.
Yeah.
Are you feeling people of more stature calling and saying, "Hey, let's write," than you did 8 months ago?
Well, it's less of those people calling me and be like, "Hey, let's write." It's more of like my people calling those people and being like, hey, can Adam write with your guys? And they're like, what's he got going on? Like, he's got this, this. Okay, yeah, sure. You come in. It's like the bouncer at the club.
Whatever,
you
know, it takes.
Exactly.
But you're still getting into bigger rooms
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about all this is, like, success really does breed success. And so if you have one thing, it kind of, like, opens the door for another. And you have to keep, you know, you just have to keep producing and keep working hard. And honestly, right now, I feel a little bit of pressure because I've never had this sort of thing before, you know. So it's kind of like I don't know, hopping, I don't know, rock climbing or something, and you got your handhold here, you know, I got my how not to handhold here, and I got somebody else will handhold. Now I'm like looking for the next thing, like how do I keep it going? And but I know that's like not really a good way to look at it, because you can, you know, overthink and kind of put yourself in a tough situation to not write your best stuff if you're always thinking about the business. And so
the two best places to be though are nervous and pressured, because that means it matters.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's like good, that. Dude. I'm gonna hold on to that.
That means it matters. Little gym for you.
I'm gonna write that in my little journal.
Mike, what happened over here with that? My computer's dead because I want to play the Jacob Davis song. And just disclosure. Jacob and I are the same record label. And
yeah,
so,
you are.
Yeah, but me, Jacob, Kelsey.
Good people over there.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
And also my boy Forrest Whitehead, we write a lot. We are, Forrest and Jacob were my co-writers on this song. And also, I didn't give Kelly Archer and Tebe Otto their love on Somebody Else Will. We had fun writing that song that day.
They get enough love.
No, they don't.
Nah. Everybody loves them.
Kelly just beat me out for an award. I got nominated for my first award last week.
You did? What award was that?
The AIMP Awards.
Arkansan Writer of Central Arkansas Writer of the Year.
it was like the independent the association.
Oh
independent,
yeah, no, I said publishers. Walker and Caitlin Smith.
They
were
performed
there.
On there. They shut that place down.
Yeah, those are
it
like
was
my people.
Incredible.
Yep. Walker's out on tour with me right now. His last show is actually this weekend. Since January till now. And so Walker's out, and he's going on tour with Tom's right now. And so I'm taking Carly Pierce out
that's
with me.
All
right. Yeah, right. It's hey, listen, it's the
it's
normal,
an all right tour.
Normal graduation. Bobby Stand Up Act
to
Thomas Rhett's headliner.
Love it. Also, Carly Pierce, man. Can we just give a slow clap for that girl? Because I love the way that she's worked, and because she's kind of been through the Nashville ringer a little bit, and now seeing her like blowing things up is I love watching her success from afar.
Well, I hope everybody listening hears that, and if you don't think I'm funny, come watch her play at my shows and buy tickets.
There you
That'd
go.
Be good. So the song you wrote is called What I Want to Be.
Yeah,
let me hear this thing. I already know it. I'm acting like I never heard it before. Okay. Let me hear this thing. Let me see if I think this thing's any good or not. Jacob Davis, What I Want to Be, excuse me, written by Adam Hamrick.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes another pickup line, you'll shoot down. Hey, what you drinking? From another cashmere crappy clown. But I'ma say no, man. Cause no, that ain't my style. But I bet you a slow dance that I could change your mind. I don't wanna be just another thing that you think about when you think about love gone wrong. And I ain't into being the reason that the tears fall when you hear another sad, sad song. I got
three singles right now. Look at this guy over here.
Be careful. I'm gonna have to pop my head to get me out that door.
Everybody home proud of you?
Man, I hope so.
What do you mean you hope so? You don't know?
You
don't feel like
I,
it? They ever text you like
I do.
I'm listening to Kiss 96. I just heard.
Yeah.
You know.
I get those texts a lot, and I love those because I love being an Arkansas flag waver. Okay. Like I like when people can somehow like, I know this might sound, I don't know how this sounds, but I like it when people feel like my success is somehow connected to them. Because I think that's, I don't know. Those are my people, and
there are only a few of us too. Like I got an Arkansas tattoo.
I know.
I bleed red, man.
I know. That's one of the reasons I've been a fan of yours from afar as well. And
I got to call the Hogs on the field this year.
I saw that.
It's pretty freaking awesome.
You also had dinner at the governor's mansion.
I did. I went.
Come
to
on.
I was going to run for governor.
Hey, yeah. Can we talk about this? Is this a real thing?
It was a real thing to where I was genuinely considering it, but I'm in the middle of a contract. Just have to leave the contract. Governor Hutchinson was very kind, and I didn't feel like I had enough time.
Yeah.
To really.
Yeah.
To do it. Do I think I may do it in 4 years? Maybe.
Dude, that's rad.
I might. I will eventually. I will be the governor of Arkansas at some point. So, yeah, listen.
I'll move back just so I can vote.
I'm like you. Like, I'm very proud of where I come from.
Yeah.
And so, I was Arkansas born and raised, and then Austin, Texas. Those are my two places.
Yeah.
And then I've lived in the three greatest places that, and I get to go all over the country. Aside from Boston, I love Boston.
Yeah.
But it's too cold.
Yeah.
I could never live. Like, I just couldn't live. It's just too cold for me.
I
love Boston. So,
I get some flack sometimes. I don't actually wear my Mississippi on my sleeve enough. Because I actually did most of my, like, growing up. So, like, from when I was, like, 9 to 18, I lived in Corinth, Mississippi. And so those people also got my heart, too. But Arkansas, that's where my family's originally from. And that's where I spent most of my life. And so, like, if I had to pick one, like, Arkansas is more home. But Mississippi also, love you guys, too.
We'll talk about Blue Apron for a second. So not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, too. So it's important to know where your food comes from. That's why Blue Apron's awesome. That's not the only reason why it's awesome. It's one of the reasons it's awesome. Another reason is it comes pre-portioned. Blue Apron has all the ingredients for you to make a great home-cooked meal, but already pre-portioned. Another great reason is it comes right to your door in a box, and if it's supposed to be kept cold, it's kept cold. If it's supposed to, it's ready for you to go. Basically, you pull it out, and you go, okay, it's home-cooked meal time. What are we going to cook? You ordered it online. Boom, there it is. There's even a card that tells you exactly how to do it. Lots of variety, too. Tons of recipes every single week. So Blue Apron's culinary team can hook it up and make sure that you have something you like all the time, too. This week's menu, check it out and get your first three meals for free and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/BobbyCast. blueapron.com/BobbyCast to get the three meals for free. So Blue Apron, I love it. Try it. Just try it once. blueapron.com/BobbyCast. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Okay, so you have three singles on radio right now. Man, they all three have great shots, too. Like, you know, sometimes I hear a song, but like, yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, we'll see what it does. Maybe it's 30.
Yeah.
You got good stuff out there. So you're like the new guy that everybody's, like, gravitating to, and it's cool. I Snapchatted you singing at that Bluebird show.
Oh, yeah, my sister freaked out.
I played it on the radio because I thought you were so good. I didn't even know you then. And I was like, this guy, Adam Hamburger or something. Was playing a
never
song
heard that before.
Right beside me, and I Snapchatted him. I mean, it was the most uncouth Bluebird thing ever. Like, you're supposed to be all serious. Me, I'm geeking out. I'm in the Bluebird. And I got my – I'm recording – because Eric – Pascal and I were sitting across from each other, and Adam was to my right. And so I took the phone. I'm recording. I'm seeing how not to. And I played it on the air the next day.
Man.
And your sister heard it.
My sister heard it, and she freaked out. Freaked out. Okay, she like called me. She's like, did you know Bobby Bones put you on the radio? I was like, I do now.
That's awesome. Dude.
I might have went back and caught the podcast recap of that day
over and over
because I might be just that vain.
That's funny. Nah, that's good. Dude, I'm happy for you, man. It's really cool.
Man, it's been a lot of fun. I'm just trying to, I'm trying to keep getting better every day because there's that dude. That's the thing. There are so many good people who just hasn't happened for yet, and so. Like, there's always somebody to learn from. There's always somebody to be blown away by, and there's always room to get better. And I don't have any delusions that, like, I'm at a place where, well, I've made it. And, you know, now it's just like everything's just gonna come to me. Like, I don't know. I you did that podcast with Luke Laird. Like, Luke Laird's on my bucket list of people to write with because I think he's a really wise dude. And I hope, you know, one day to be at that kind of level where I've had that kind of success, but I've also got that kind of wisdom to kind of, you know, share. And
the Luke Laird stuff to me was crazy because he went and wrote with Snoop, wrote with Future.
Yeah.
Like, he's writing country songs and he hops over to LA and or Atlanta and is just writing hip hop stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I'm just such a music fan, period.
Yeah.
Like, all, I don't care what genre it is. Yeah. I love country music because of how I grew up and where I grew up, but I had a hip hop record deal at one point.
You know, I was going to ask you about that too because.
So,
because you mentioned that previously,
but it's not a thing. Like, it's not a thing where you have to pick a side. I get so annoyed with people wanting to pick sides all the time. Like, this is people in our format. People try to kick people out all the time. Like, you're not part of our.
You're not country.
And we should be finding people that are like don't have a place that are just fantastic and bringing them in.
Yeah,
And so, yeah, Luke's cool. That's yeah. good. Well, dude, I hope you hit number one. I got a good feeling about this, Dan and Shay.
Man, I appreciate it.
About to have first top five in a couple weeks with the song. Then will it hit one? That'll be the question.
That'll be the question.
Oh, man. But I don't know how not to. There it is, Dan and Shay, How Not To. And here was the demo from Adam here. And I do think once you finally put out your first record, we'll have you back. We'll talk about you as the artist.
Come on,
dude. Because that's going to happen, too.
Man, I hope so. I hope so. That would be really cool.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time.
Feel like you did good or did you bad?
I'm hard on myself, bro.
You did good.
Well, thank you.
You did good, but don't listen back.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry.
I'm just playing. All right, what's your Twitter?
Just at Adam Hambrick on.
But you don't tweet. I looked at your Twitter the other day.
I tweet all the time.
One was like 2 weeks ago.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Maybe I just saw your pinned tweet.
Maybe so. Maybe it was
that pinned tweet will get you sometimes because you'll look at it and be like December and you're like, oh, they don't even tweet.
The pinned tweet, that's the all-time favorite.
Sometimes you gotta redo it and repin it so people don't think you're just leaving your account dead.
That's a good point.
I make a lot of those. Put that in your journal. Point number two.
Alright.
What episode was this, Mike? Alright, this was episode 59. Adam, good to see you, bud.
Thanks for having me, man, really.
Alright, and everybody download all of his music and make him rich. He wants to buy a house. True?
It's true.
Alright, we'll see you next time.